stories. 2 Samuel chapter 11, I want to give you a thought the Lord settled in my heart. I saw Brother Letson on Monday and he was asking about what I was going to preach, and normally I like to have stuff settled in my heart. Lord, what do you want me? And I'll be honest, it wasn't until yesterday morning in my devotion the Lord settled in my heart what he wanted me to preach today. And so 2 Samuel chapter number 11, would you mind standing with me for the public reading of the Word of God? Don't you love your Bible this morning?
Amen.
The Bible says in verse number 6, "And David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go unto thine house? Listen to the answer. Uriah said unto him, David, the ark in Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. For a few minutes this morning, I'll preach on this thought: reasons for staying in the battle. Reasons for staying in the battle. Father, Lord, I do thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for this retreat, how it's helped and challenged me. Bless these that have made it possible. Bless this church, this pastor, Brother Frederick, all that have worked, all that have labored and sacrificed. Lord, please bless them. I pray that you'd bless these few minutes and this thought this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you've been around preaching any time, you've been in church any number of years, you know the history of this chapter. You're aware of all of the devastating events that are mentioned in this famous chapter of the Word of God. You've heard message after message preached from this passage of Scripture. But let me just quickly give you a real quick outline of this chapter, of chapter number 11. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, you see the situation. The Bible tells us that the kings went forth to battle, but the Bible also tells us that David was not where he should have been. When the kings went forth to battle, David yet tarried behind. He was not in the place that he was supposed to be. So in the opening verses, we're taught and we understand and we're taught a valuable lesson about the importance of being where we are supposed to be and doing what we are supposed to be doing. Hey, listen to me, fellas. It is so vitally important for us to be in the place that we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, because when you don't, you'll find yourself in a situation that'll get you in trouble. But then notice in verse number 3 down through verse number 5, we see not only the situation in the first two verses, but then we see the sin. In verse number 3 down through verse number 5, let me remind you, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, commits the sin of adultery. In a time when David was not where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do, David found himself doing things that he never imagined. And that's what will happen when you're not in the place you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. You'll find yourself doing things that you never, ever thought you could do. But then notice the scheme. We see the situation and the sin, but in verse 6 down through verse number 9, we see the scheme. Look at it. He plans up this scheme. David, he sins greatly against God. And instead of getting right with God, he hatches a scheme that he thinks might help him get away with the sin with Bathsheba. You know, that's the nature of man, isn't it? Our first reflex is to find a way to get away with our sin. Instead of coming clean with God, we're so foolish. We're so foolish because we try to hide it from our friends. We try to hide those sins from our family. We try to hide it from those that we know in public. But all the while, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So in this chapter, as we outline this chapter, we see the situation. We see the sin. We see the scheme. But I don't want you to overlook this. There's a superstar in this chapter. in this dark chapter of the Bible, we find a bright spot. We find a superstar. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by deceitfulness, revealing the total depravity of man. But in the middle of all of this is a bright and shining star, and his name is Uriah. Uriah the Hittite was a man of character. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that was loyal to the king. He was a man that was very loyal. But in the midst of all of this depravity, we see a hero, Uriah. Remember, Uriah is brought home from the battle. He has the kisses of the king. He has the blessings of the king to go and to take a break from the battle, to go back to his house, to enjoy his family, to spend the night with his wife. Uriah was given the best of the king's food. He was given the best of the king's wine and had what some would call the makings of a very good evening at home with his wife. But Uriah said, "I will not do this thing." That was hard for me to understand. Here it is. David thought it important enough to bring him home from the battle. After all, that would have been a safe place. When you're not in the battle, there's no danger of getting hurt. There's no danger of dying if you're not in the battle. If you're in the safety of your home, if you are laying there and you're in the embrace of your wife, that is a pretty safe place. But there was something in the battle that Uriah said, "David, put me back in the battle." There was something down in the battle that Uriah said, "I'd rather be in the battle than to be lying with my wife." Uriah was saying, "David, there's something in the battle. There's a reason for me to be down there that's greater than to have your blessings, than to have your food, than to have your wine, than to have the kisses of the king, the love of my wife." He said, "I want to be in the battle." It was as if Uriah was saying, "David, put me back in the battle." There's some things that Uriah received from the battle that he didn't get from his wife. There were some things that he received in the battle that he didn't get from the blessings of the king. And I want to remind you fellas this morning, in 2019, looking at 2020, this is not a playground. This is a battlefield. I'm not doom and gloom. I'm thankful for the time in which God has called and given us to serve in this generation. Hey, look here. It's closer today to Jesus coming back than it was last week, than a generation ago. But I'm telling you, we're still in a battle. And the reasons that Uriah gave in verse number 11, the reasons that he gave to get back in the battle is the same reasons that you and I have for staying in the battle. I want you to look at it with me right here in verse 11. It's already outlined for us. I'll give them to you. And here are the reasons. Number one, look at verse 11. And this is what he said. After all this has transpired, this is when the question came down, "Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?" Verse 11, Uriah, the superstar, gives the reasons. Number one, he says, Uriah said unto David, "The ark." I find the first reason is the presence of God. We know from the Word of God that the ark represents the presence of God. David knew something about the ark. You've read the story of David. You remember how he helped bring it from Obed-Edom's house and put it back in its rightful place. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. And so it was as if, as he was saying the ark, Uriah was saying, "David, put me back in the battle, because that is where the presence of God is." There's people all over this country today who are in love with performance. They'd much rather be entertained than be exhorted. They'd much rather be entertained than be rebuked. Listen, they're in love with performance, but I'm telling you this morning, how far can you travel without Him? How far can you go in this life without Him? How long do you think you can survive in the battle without Him? There's some things, though, I'll promise you, you men know what I'm talking about this morning. There's some things that you'll find in His presence. First of all, worship will be sweet. Every time you get to that place, worship will be sweet. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it won't be sitting in a church pew. It may be in your vehicle going down the road.
I bless his holy name that I don't have to wait till Sunday to meet with him. I don't have to wait till Wednesday to meet with him. I don't have to wait till men's retreat to meet with him. I bless his holy name that I can go down the road and all I got to do is just begin to praise his holy name, and his presence will show up, and in his presence worship will be sweet. Oh, I'm telling you, when you get into his presence, when you get into his presence, you won't have to be pumped up. You won't have to be primed up. You won't have to be pushed up. No, worship will be sweet in his presence. You get in that place where he is. Listen, you may even start seeing and start counting the arrows that are being shot at you. But when you get in that place where true worship breaks out in your soul, you'll experience a presence that will be sweet. I can't express to you how sweet that place is. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's foreign to you. You've never been there. It will scar you and nothing will do. I'm talking about that place. It's a fulfillment there that your family can't give you. It's a fulfillment there that a conversation with your friends, and I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for my wife and my family. I'm thankful for my church. But I'm telling you, there's something that the presence of God will give you that no one else can give you. Uriah said, David, put me back in the battle because that's where the ark is. That's where the presence of God is. And more than I want to be with my wife, more than I want to be with my family, I want to be in his presence. Oh, men, worship will be sweet. I'll tell you something else. Wealth will be shared. Wealth will be shared. There'll be provisions for the journey. Listen, fellas, I don't know what you need this morning. You may not even know what you need. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven who knows exactly what I need when I need it. God knew that I needed a message last night about not quitting. God knew that I needed a message last night from Brother Brown, then Brother Jeanette this morning. God knew exactly what I needed. That wealth will be shared, provisions for the journey. It's amazing to me that people look to God for the provisions they need and they refuse to spend any of their day in his presence. Provisions for the journey. I remember when our oldest daughter, it's our daughter Jessica, and then Jonathan, and then Jacob. When Jessica was just a little girl and Jonathan was just really young as well, there was a grocery store in our town in Marks, Mississippi, Gurley's Day and Night. And they would have anything, a little convenience store. They were about the only store in our little town. When Jessica was little, she knew that if she went with Daddy, we'd always go by Gurley's. And just for her going with me, we'd pull in there and I'd let her go in there and pick out anything there that she wanted. I remember coming home one time and I asked her, well, before we left, I had to run somewhere, and I said, Jessica, you going to ride with Daddy? And she said, no, I'm not going this time. I said, well, that's fine. I come home. I got me an ice cream bar. I didn't get her one. She comes running, and she's asking. I said, well, baby, you wasn't with me. You don't get to enjoy stuff like this if you don't go with Daddy. I'm going to tell you something. In his presence, there's provisions for the journey. It's amazing to me, fellas. We'll pray and say, God, I need you to meet this need. God, I need you to meet that need. I need you to save this loved one. I need you to pay this bill. But we refuse to spend time in his presence. There's provision for the journey, but I'll tell you something else there is. There's power for the job. There's power for the job. He'll also give you the power you need to get the job done that he's called you to do. I don't care if you're a pastor, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a bus worker. You can't get the job done in your own power. Oh, I could say a whole lot more, but before I leave this thought about his presence, let me give you just a few things that's also in his presence. You'll find a person who cannot be dethroned. God, he can never be dethroned. I'm telling you this morning, he's the rock of all ages. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one who can never be dethroned. I don't care what battle rages. I don't care what's thrown your way. In his presence, there's a person who can never be dethroned. There's a peace that can never be duplicated. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. This world knows nothing of. When I see a drug addict, when I see a drunk, listen, I understand what that is. They're just trying to find the peace that God's given the child of God in His presence. There's a peace that can't be duplicated. There's a power that cannot be destroyed. There's a provision that cannot be diminished. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. My provision may be diminished, but I'm telling you, we're tapping a source that can never be diminished. There's a pardon that cannot be devoid. Listen, when I was found, listen, when God Almighty looks at me now, He don't see me for what I was. He sees the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though your sins be as scarlet, they're now white as snow. And I'm telling you, in His presence, you'll find a person who cannot be dethroned, a peace that cannot be duplicated, a power that cannot be destroyed, a provision that cannot be diminished, a pardon that cannot be devoid, a priest that cannot die. For we have not an high priest what cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But then there's a place that cannot be denied. Do you understand that all of that is found in His presence? Uriah said, David, put me back in the battle, because that's where the ark, the presence of the Lord is. But there's another reason. Let me give it to you. Oh, I could say so much more about His presence. If you don't know anything about His presence, get in His presence. The God of glory, the God that created the heaven and the earth, the God that is the reason that we even exist, desires to spend time with us. Uriah said, David, put me back in the battle, because that's where the ark, the presence of God is. Number two, he gives another reason. Look back at verse number 11. He not only says the ark, the presence of God, and Israel. That's the people of God. That's the people of God. I don't know about you. I don't know who you want to die with, but I want to die with the people of God. I don't know about you, but who you want to spend time with, but I want to spend time with God's people. I don't know who you love the most, but I love the people of God. I love being at church. I love being around God's people. I love being around God's men. Listen, one of these days, God's going to call me home, and I don't want Him to call me home in a world that cares nothing about Him. I want to be around God's people. Uriah said, the ark, the presence of God. But David, Israel, the people of God. I love God's people. You know why I love God's people? Because they love God. God loves them. And because I love God, I love God's people. When you love God the way that you're supposed to, you can love God's people the way that you're supposed to and probably overlook a lot of foolish things. Notice a couple of things about this. Notice the concern of the people of God. For the most part, God's people are concerned about what God is concerned about, and that's the souls of men. Do you understand why our churches run those buses each and every week? Because I'm telling you this morning, because this is a vehicle that God uses to reach boys and girls and moms and dads for the Lord Jesus Christ. What concerns you today? You see, the concern of God's people, it stirs me up. I challenged our church. We're in our fall Sunday school campaign. We just started. Last week was our first week. We love our campaigns. We promote competition. Our church is split right now. We're doing a harvest theme. It's called Harvest 300. And we have John Deere versus Case. The Sunday night before, that would have been the 14th, we had what's called the purchase. In a real farm situation, you have that time of year that you make the big purchase. You make sure that you've got your manpower. You make sure that you got the seed. You got the equipment. Well, we had the equipment. We had the seed. Now we had to get the manpower. So we divided up. We called our head. We got the farmers. We had their farm hands. Their farmers, their foremen. Now they needed farm hands. And so we keep records. And we have a number one pick, and we have a last pick. The number one, two, three, four are those that in the past we keep records. They were good about going soul winning. They were good about visiting. They were good about, you know, somebody's got to get picked last. So we began to pick one after the other. But you had to have the first round draft pick, right? So we brought in 2 ears of corn and had them to shuck those ears of corn to see who goes first. And then we divided up. One of the things that I've done, I ordered 10,000 tracks, personalized, fall, and I've challenged our church. In the next 5 weeks, I want to give out 10,000 tracks. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. You know, one of the things that thrills my soul is the concern of the people of God, but also the compassion of the people of God. Listen to me, fellas. I've watched week after week. I've watched year after year people crawl on those buses. Brother Evans, I have watched before when there was snow on the ground. Brother Letson, I'm talking about come up to your shins. I've watched bus workers get on those buses and go out into the highways and hedges and bring boys and girls in. I've seen them go out when it was so bitterly cold, and I'm sitting there thinking, should I cancel this? Should I cancel it? Then I look up, and there comes a bus worker pulling in the parking lot. I says, well, there's my answer. There's my answer. I don't want to be foolish, Lord. Should I cancel this? And I look up, and there's another bus worker pulling in cold. The compassion of the people of God. Uriah was saying, David, put me back in the battle because that's where the people of God are. But then he gives another reason here. He says here, and Uriah said unto David, the ark, the presence of God, Israel, the people of God, and Judah. You know what Judah means? Praise. Judah means praise. He said, put me back in the battle because that's where the praises of God are. He was saying, put me back down there where the praises of God are. There's the difficulty of the battle. Down there in the battle where the arrows are being shot and the fiery darts are being thrown. This was a difficult place. But Uriah said, look at them, David. Look down there. They're in the heat of the battle, but their hands are raised and they're crying and shouting and praying and praising God. That's where I want to be. I heard a story one time about a regiment of soldiers who were in the battle. They were outnumbered by the enemy 5-1. They were suffering defeat and they were overwhelmed by the enemy, and the sergeant, he didn't know what else to do. His men were dying, and he looked at the little trumpeter boy, the little boy that blew the trumpet, and he said this, and I quote, blow the sound of retreat. We're being overwhelmed by the enemy. And that little trumpeter boy, he looked at that sergeant with tears in his eyes and said, I don't know what retreat sounds like. They never taught me that sound. And so he said, we got to do something. And that little trumpeter, he did the only thing that he knew to do. He blew the only sound that he knew to blow. And it was charge, charge, charge. And as he blew that sound of charge, the regiment moved forward and the enemy assumed that reinforcements had arrived. And so in fear set in their hearts, they began to retreat. And that little regiment of soldiers won the victory that day because that little trumpeter didn't know the sound of retreat. He didn't know, so he blew the only sound he knew, charge. Let me tell you here today, fellas. Let me tell you here today, I don't ever want to sound the sound of retreat. I'm here to tell you, as that little trumpeter boy sounded the sound of charge, we're in a battle. We're not in a playground. We are in a battle, and we don't need to retreat. We need an army of men. We need an army who will stand up and say, charge, charge for the glory of God. And so when it gets hard, when it seems like the enemy's moving in, he's trying to destroy your church and my church and our churches, when the men are trying to destroy our families, when he's moving in, when retreat seems like the only option left, lift up your hands and be able to and start blessing the name of the Lord, because where the praises of the Lord are, he inhabits the praise of his people. Uriah said, put me back in the battle because that's where the praises are. So he said, David, the ark, the presence of God. Israel, the people of God. He He says, Judah, the praises of God. But then look what he says. They abide in tents. That's the place of God. Notice the cry. Uriah could have easily said to David, David, you're familiar with the war cry, to the tents, to the tents. But you chose the housetop experience. He could have told him that. You see, we know from verse 1 that David was not in the place that God wanted him to be. David was not in the place God wanted him. Uriah cried, put me back in the battle. He said, because that's my place. That's the place God's put me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want to be in the place that God's put me. You may not think a whole lot of Clinton, Illinois, but I love that place.
Yeah, sure.
It's my place.
Yeah.
God saw fit to put me in that place.
Sure.
Listen, your place may be a Sunday school class. Your place may be a bus route. Your place may be a nursing home ministry. Whatever your place is, stay in your place. Uriah said, if I'm going to die, let me die in my place in the tents. Would to God we'd have some folks who are just determined to be in their place. Whether it's that Sunday school class, just be in your place. If God gives you a place of service, be in your place. Thank God for the place. So he gives these reasons. The reasons were good reasons. They were great reasons. He said, there's something in the battle I can't get from my wife. I can't get from the king. David, just put me back in the battle. That's where the ark, the presence of God, Israel, the people of God, Judah, the praises of God, abide in tents, the place of God. David, that's my place. But the last thing, look at the last reason. He said, and my Lord Joab and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. I call this the promises of God. Because you see, at the feet of Joab was the promises that were laid at the door. Meaning, because Joab was in his place leading the battle, there were some promises that victory was on the horizon. There were some promises laid at the feet of Joab. And he was saying, put me back where the promises of God are. Oh, we see the preciousness of his promises. Look, I don't have the time to develop it, but there will be times. There will come a time when all that you have is the promises of God. Listen, I have no sad story, but I do know this battle is real. There will be difficult days in your life. There'll be sad times in your life. There'll be discouraging days in your life. And you'll find yourself in the wee hours of the morning. You'll find yourself aimlessly just flipping through the pages. Just begging God, Lord, show me one more promise. They're precious. Oh, you look at those verses over there where God did this for Israel. And where God did that for that one. And God did that for that one. And God will speak to your heart and say, if I did it for them, I'll do it for you. I bless his holy name. Brother Jeanette, I too, about a year and a half ago, preached my daddy's funeral. And to be honest, when my daddy died, we had planned this, and you never plan for that kind of thing. And I remember when daddy died, I immediately went into that. And please understand what I'm saying. That pastor mode, it was hurting. I was hurting, but I went to that pastor mode. Daddy wanted me to preach, and he was very specific. He wanted to have a church service. He wanted Jonathan to lead some congregational singings. He wanted a church service. I wanted to grant my daddy's wish. I wanted to grant his wish. And I preached. He even gave me the text. My daddy's favorite text was, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I preached his funeral from his favorite text. I did my best to honor what he wanted from that funeral. I did everything that he wanted. But after everything was over and I got back home, you have to have, the Bible says, a time under heaven for everything.
Sure. Yep.
You have to have a time to grieve. Yep. And I talked to my daddy every day. I couldn't do that anymore. I was cooking. Pastor Jonathan was doing they were doing the adult teen banquet. I cooked for that. I was out there at my grill. Just buried my daddy yesterday. I'm out there at my grill. I was overwhelmed. And I just opened up the Word of God. I'm sorry that it takes times of grief or when you're just downhearted to find how precious these promises are. But I got to looking in there what happens when the saint of God closes his eyes in death. And everything that he taught me, everything that I've ever heard him preach, everything that I've ever heard him say about the Word of God, he's now experiencing. And the promises of God become so precious to us. Oh, they're precious. I'm telling you, you'll find yourself, Uriah was saying, put me back because of the promises of God. But notice the permanence of his promise. You'll never have to worry about one promise ever failing. He's everything he claims to be and more. And everything that he said will come to pass. Uriah said, David, put me back in the battle. Put me back in the battle. Look, I want to challenge you this morning. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's a battle raging, but don't fear. Don't fear, because in the heat of the battle, the presence of God will be real. You'll be there with the people of God. Oh, you'll experience the promises and the praise of God like you never dreamed as long as you're in your place. Stay in the battle. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know what your need is today. But you may be here. You may be struggling in the midst of the battle. I want to challenge you this morning. Stay in the battle. Heavenly Father, to the very best of my ability, I've done what you've asked me to do. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God, how it's changed my life. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Let's stand.